Over a dozen years ago, I was at the evening celebration of the year-end conference for MCC's IVEP program. So that's Mennonite Central Committee's International Volunteer Exchange Program. Young adults from countries around the world come and volunteer for a year in Canada and the U.S. Some of you remember Walter from Uganda. These events are a celebration of world cultures and also really poignant evidence of the friendships that are formed among the IVEPers, who are all experiencing different levels of culture shock at the same time throughout the year. So at this one event that I remember, I was with my friend Natasha, a few other friends, and at the end of the presentation, after the whole group of young people had sung Michael W. Smith's Friends Are Friends Forever, and the crowd was crying or pretending not to, and all the IVEPers were emotional about leaving each other soon for their countries, and I turned to Natasha, who has also traveled the world and met people all over, and as she wiped her tears, she said to those of us with her, "You're the last friends I'm planning on making. Making new friends just means saying more goodbyes. It's too hard." Natasha knew, as well as the rest of us do, that you can't actually avoid farewells as easily as that. And there's not just the parting of relationships, but other changes happen to relationships that are sometimes sudden or sometimes drawn out and not always what we anticipated at the beginning. John 14 that we heard is part of what we think of as Jesus' farewell discourse, his final words of comfort, instruction, warning, and prayer for his disciples before he was arrested. And he knows that what is coming isn't going to be easy for any of them. "Do not let your hearts be troubled," Jesus says. "Believe in God, believe also in me." And then Jesus gives this promise that maybe you recognize most from hearing quite often at funerals. "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." It's a comforting promise when contemplating the end of life to trust in dwelling with God. And that reading of it was meaningful to me this week as a beloved seminary professor, Alan Kreider, passed away, and also as we continue to walk with Marg Savoy in her final days. But this passage speaks in other ways too. Jesus spoke these words to the people that he trusted to carry on in his name, in his way of life. These disciples had plenty of living to do yet, but Jesus wouldn't be with them in the same way for very much longer. And they would come up against some frightening, some discouraging, and even some dangerous times in the near future. Some of them would have more living to do than others. They might start to feel like they had gotten lost somewhere along the way. Thomas's question that he asks here might feel even more real when Jesus isn't around anymore. "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus says, "There is no hidden coded treasure map to figure out your way to being at home with God." Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Maybe you have heard that verse used in a way that was meant to be exclusionary, a demand for someone to get with the program. Theologian Elizabeth Johnson insists that to interpret this verse this way is to rip it from its context and do violence to the spirit of Jesus' words. This statement by Jesus is a promise, a word of comfort to his disciples. Jesus himself is all they need. There is no need to panic, no need to search desperately for a secret map. Still, I don't mind saying, I like maps. Even though I've come to admit that the safest way for me to be my own navigator in the car is to follow my phone's GPS rather than the whole, unfolded map and while driving thing, Even though the GPS is safer, I still usually like to have a look at the big picture of my trip before I leave home and entrust myself to the mystery of the journey. So these words of Jesus are good words for me, and maybe you recognize how they are good words for you too. When we think about all of the places we're trying to get to in life, to contentment, to peace, to joy, to love, to wisdom, to being known, to meaning. Jesus says, "You already know the way. If you know me, I'll take you. In God's house, there are many dwelling places." And Jesus says, "You can be with me." So what I wonder today is where and when and how in your life you feel at home with God. Maybe there have been times in your life when the notion of home has been a difficult one. Maybe you didn't know where it was. Or maybe the place that was supposed to be home was not as it should be. Or maybe it was a place you weren't able to go back to, either physically or because it had changed so much. So when we hear this promise that with Jesus we can dwell with God, abide with God, hang out with God, I wonder, when have you felt at home with God? Do you feel at home with God in places that have been created to be sacred spaces for generations? Maybe in spaces where you are anonymous, but you share a sense of the holy with strangers from around the world and across time. Or maybe in a worship space where you have shared meaningful moments with people who love you. Have you felt at home with God in cozy corners or vast horizons? Do you feel at home with God when you are planted on the grass that God drew out from the ground, or gazing into the depths, or up at the mountains that God's patience has built? When you move in close to notice the tiniest detail of creation, or step back to try, though you can't, take it all in, do you feel at home with God when you see the bigger picture that you are part of? Do you feel at home with God not in a place, but with the right people or person? When your heart fills with love and your mouth fills with laughter or your eyes with tears, are you at home with God then? Maybe it's with the first family that was given to you, and days like today, Mother's Day, are times when you give thanks. Maybe it's with your chosen family that has come together for you along the way, and you have your own days and traditions and moments of gratitude. Do you feel at home with God in those relationships because God understands their significance more than other people usually do? Do you feel at home with God not in where you are or who you're with, but in what you're doing, how you're living? Do you feel at home with God when you are praying? When you are building something that someone needs? When you are caring for someone close to you? What about when you are so certain that you are doing what you are gifted and called to do in the world? Or even when you are uncertain, can you feel at home with God on the journey of discovery? When, or where, or how do you feel at home with God? Have you ever felt like you've lost your way home? In those times, what has it meant for you to follow the way of Jesus? What does it look like to watch for the truth of Jesus? What might it feel like to live the abundant life that Jesus brings? When are you at home with Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life? It is pretty remarkable that when we find ourselves at home with Jesus, dwelling with God, we hear this other promise that Jesus made in John 14. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these. How can this be possible, we might wonder, knowing all of the miracles that Jesus performed? But even Jesus grew tired of people's dependence on signs and wonders. Jesus was calling people to dwell in relationship with God. And Jesus promised that believers would continue to call other people into relationship with God, even without Jesus present in body. How can this be possible? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You will do greater works than these. Think, for example, of the powerful origins of Mother's Day. Mother's Day didn't originate as a day to support the flower and greeting card industries. It began as a day to protest war and injustice. Listen to the Mother's Day proclamation of Julia Ward Howe in 1870, about a decade after she wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic. In this proclamation, she spoke passionately against the carnage of the American Civil War. Arise then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Julia Ward Howe worked hard to appeal to mothers to come together for peace. She may have been inspired by Anne Marie Reeves Jarvis, who 12 years earlier organized what she called Mother's Day work clubs in Taylor County, West Virginia. Anne Marie's two oldest children were among at least 600 that died in December 1856 when a plague hit the region where many people suffered with poor housing, dirty water, and a contaminated food supply. Anne Marie asked herself, what can we do as mothers, as women, to change this situation? Through church meetings and word of mouth, she brought women into her Mother's Day work clubs. New ideas about the connection between sanitation and disease were just beginning to filter through the medical profession. In light of this information, the work clubs improved sanitation in their communities, distributed medicine, had milk inspected, and tended to the poor and the sick. Their motto was mothers work for better mothers, better homes, better children, better men and women. That's a broad mandate. And in the strength of their commitment to their communities, and also in the strength of their Christian faith, they worked for what might have seemed to be the impossible. Greater works than these, indeed. West Virginia of 1856 was a world that the disciples of first century Palestine could never have imagined. But in each new time and place, Jesus calls us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Dwell with Jesus, be at home with God, and you will be called out into greater works than you can yet imagine.